all of the details, the timing and things that would come together well and just go smoothly, and pray that that could happen this week. We'd love that and just commit it to you. Lord, now as we spend some time around your word, we do so expectantly, believing that you will speak to us and asking that you would guide Daniel as he shares. And Lord, would you speak to my heart, speak to each of us. You know what we're at, where we're at, and what we need to hear, and just ask that you would meet us here and guide us in the next few minutes. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, good morning, and I will say this has been a little bit of a hard week to study for a sermon. I had a lot happening this week, but I was able to spend Wednesday evening. Jess had the boys at her mom's, and was able to do that early, and that was a real blessing to me. A lot of weeks I am kind of waiting till Saturday to actually do most of my studying, and to have a 5 or 6 hour block to do it, it really took a lot of the pressure off. So I want to just thank Jessica for allowing me to have that time. We often get the credit for doing it, but there's a lot of wives and children that do without to make it happen. So we're going to be continuing our study in John. And if you remember the last time I shared, we looked at the Samaritan woman and that story. And we're going to kind of pick up with the last few verses that we left off with, but kind of taking a little bit different focus on those. And then we're going to look at the two following stories. So both stories that we're very familiar with. So looking at three stories, and I want to go through them and read each story, but I also want to look at a trend of asking Jesus for something and Jesus granting that request. And so I want to pull that out of each of these stories, and hopefully we can learn how they ask and maybe apply that to our lives. And I also just want to say, as we're looking at these stories, I think it's always so hard when we deal with asking Jesus for something or asking God for something, because this is not a formula of do X, Y, and Z to manipulate Jesus, manipulate God into giving us. But also, there is things to learn and to, you know, follow, because Jesus does want to grant us and to care for us. So starting, I will just start with reading verses 39 through 45. And where we're picking up here is, if you remember, the Samaritan woman came back to her village, her people, and gave this testimony, and we remember many, many people believed. But so I want to pick up, and we're going to look at those people. They're just the Samaritans, many Samaritans, who believed and what they did. So many Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me all things that I ever did. So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with him, and he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. They said to the woman, "It is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard ourselves, and we know that this is indeed the Savior of the world." After 2 days, he departed for Galilee, for Jesus himself had testified that a prophet has no honor in his hometown. So when he came to Galilee, the Galileans welcomed him, having seen all that he had done in Jerusalem at the feast, for they too had gone to the feast. So in this first story, we have these Samaritans, and they saw what Jesus had done for the Samaritan woman. Sorry, this gets a little awkward because we have nothing better to call them other than Samaritans, the Samaritan woman. But they saw what he had done, and they wanted more. They knew that he had something for him. And what did they do? This isn't a trick question. What did they do? They asked him to stay. They said, Jesus, stay, teach us. And Jesus did. Jesus granted them their desire. And their interest, their needs grew into belief. It says, and they believed. And one of the things that I am struck with as I read this is they had a need. They needed Jesus. They needed a Savior. They recognized their need, and then they asked Jesus for something. Basically, they said, Jesus, come teach us. We need to learn more. And in doing that, they received. And their interest and need transitions into or grew into a deeper and deeper belief. So I think one of the things that I'm struck with in this little snippet of a story is that they had a seed of belief, a belief enough to ask, and out of that, Jesus granted them more and more, and ultimately that understanding or true belief into who Jesus was. And then also part of what they did, the Samaritans, they gave testimony. They said, it is no longer the testimony of someone else, but it is our testimony. And they verbally gave voice to who Jesus is. And I think that is so important if we want Jesus to grant us, is the power of giving verbal testimony. And then I also just want to point out, as we read these passages, one of the beautiful things that John does is, if we notice in the very end, and you'll see this as we read the other passages, he gives a timeline by telling them what feast they were at. So, and he does this to give a clear timeline of when things are taking place. So it's just something to notice as you read the passage. You'll see this feast or that feast. And it doesn't mean as much to us, but to those people of the day, that would have very clearly been, you know, oh, it's this time. And so I'm not going to kind of bore you with a timeline of the book of John, but it is actually interesting to look at, and I would encourage you as you're reading it, you know, it's pretty easy to follow these feasts and see where they're at. So I'll just point that out. So that is the first example of someone asking Jesus for something and Jesus granting it. And the second example is kind of like, it kind of one-ups it. So is going to be in the next several verses, 46 through 54, we have a very familiar story. Jesus heals the official's son. And I'm just going to pick up reading here. So he came again to Cana in Galilee, where he had made the water wine. And at Capernaum, there was an official whose son was ill. When this man had heard that Jesus had come from Judea to Galilee, he went to him and asked him to come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. So Jesus said to him, unless you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. The official said, sir, come down before my child dies. Jesus said to him, go, your son will live. The man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him and went on his way. And as he was going down, his servants met him and told him that his son was recovering. So he asked them the hour when he began to get better, and they said, yesterday at the seventh hour, the fever left him. The father knew that that was the hour which Jesus had said to him, your son will live. And he himself believed, and all his household. This was the second sign that Jesus did when he had come to Judea, to Galilee. So, just on that very last verse, again, not a trick question, little recap. It says this was the second sign that Jesus did when he had come to Judea, to Galilee. What was the first sign? Start with the children. What was the first sign? Anyone know? I need to start bringing candy bars or something to get people to talk. Anyone, what was the first sign? Thank you. We even read it just a few minutes ago. If I started bringing candy bars, I bet the children would start remembering better. But I'll have to bring that up next time. So this story, a man in authority, his son was sick. And just for a little context, this man walked from Capernaum to Galilee. Now, does anyone know how far apart these two towns were? I'm trying here, guys, and nobody. I'm throwing. This is like playing pitch and catch, and I'm running out of balls here to throw. So they're about 20 miles apart, and this is interestingly enough. It says a man in authority, a ruler. So this is somebody who's important. And do important people walk a lot? Not usually, no. They, you know, in our time, if you see the vice president driving through D.C., he's being chauffeured in a limousine. He's not riding his bicycle. And I would assume that important people in Jesus' time did not just take hikes every day. This man walked 20 miles from Cana to Galilee. And this is not flat land. This is hilly, not nice terrain. And I did some kind of lightweight digging on this. On average, it takes about 4 to 5 hours to walk 20 miles. And that is the average American today. Obviously, you can run 20 miles much faster than that, but 20 miles is a 4 or 5 hour walk. So this fat, chubby politician sweated his way up and down rugged terrains because his little boy, or his big boy, I don't know, was sick and going to die. And this man was desperate. He walked from Capernaum to Galilee 4 to 6 hours, and he came and asked Jesus, come heal, would you heal my son? And Jesus challenges him a little bit. He pushes back. And then he not only asks Jesus, he begs Jesus. He pleaded with him. He says, sir, come down, heal my child before he dies. And Jesus goes above and beyond. He heals his child. He meets his needs. And the man believes. And one of the other things that we continue to see is we see belief, and then we see belief. And so at first, he believes. He believes that his son is healed. And then he goes home, and he sees his son healed. And it says, he himself believed. And all his household. What was the difference between those two beliefs? The Bible doesn't say clearly, but I would say the difference is the man believed that Jesus healed his son. And then when he came home and saw it, he believed in Jesus as a Savior. And those are two very different things. We can believe that Jesus has the power to, you know, do things, but do we believe in Jesus as a Savior? So up until now, we have seen a pattern. And this is, we see people with a need, a desire. They ask Jesus, even beg Jesus, to fulfill that need and desire. They believe, and Jesus grants their need. And then we see a deepening or true belief in Jesus as a Savior. As a child, I remember a book, and I don't know, I couldn't find this book in our large basket of books. If you've been to our house, we have a giant basket of books. Thank you, Alfie, if you're listening. But this book, it was a little book, and it had all these pictures of, one of them is big people drive big cars. Little people drive little cars. And you'd have this picture of a great big person in a great big car and a little wee lady in a little wee car. And then you'd turn the page and it'd say, sometimes, but not always. And there'd be this picture of this great big person in a little wee car and this little wee person in a great big car. And so that was the theme of the book, sometimes but not always. And it's this children's book. How many of you have ever seen this book? Am I the only one? Okay, well, it's one of those little golden books. But I often, I've entitled this next story, Sometimes but Not Always. So the healing at the pool on the Sabbath. And I'm going to read the next story. It's chapter 5, verses 1 through 17. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now, there is in Jerusalem, and note, again, he points out the feast. John is telling us when in the timeline that's happening. Now, there is in Jerusalem by the Sheep Gate a pool, in Aramaic called Bethesda, which has five roofed colonnades. In these lay a multitude of invalids, blind, lame, and paralyzed. Now, I also want to point out, as you're reading this, do you notice that we go from verse, in some of your Bibles, that we go from verse 3 to verse 5? Is that anybody's Bible? So, if your Bible... How many of your Bibles have verse 4? I'm just curious. Okay. So, verse 4 would probably read something like this. For an angel of the Lord went down at a certain season into the pool and stirred the water. Whoever stepped in first after the stirring of the water was healed of whatever disease he had. Does any of your Bibles have a verse similar to that? So interestingly enough, that is an inserted verse that is not actually part of the original manuscript. And it's also would be more accurate if it would say that was the belief. So that's why some of your Bibles have it, some of your Bibles do not. So it's not even necessarily saying that that happened. It is saying that is the belief of what happened. So just wanted to point that out for those of you who may or may not have verse 4 in your Bible. So moving on to verse 5. One man was there who had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been there a long time, he said, "Do you want to be healed?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no one to put me in the pool when the water is stirred up, and while I am going, another steps in down before me." Jesus said to him, "Get up, take up your bed, and walk." And at once the man was healed, and he took up his bed and walked. Now that day was a Sabbath, so the Jews said to the man who had been healed, "Is it the Sabbath, and it is not lawful for you to take up your bed?" And he answered them, "The man who healed me," the man said to him, "take up your bed and walk." They asked him, "Who is the man who said to you, take up your bed and walk?" Now the man who had been healed did not know who it was, for Jesus had withdrawn, as there was a crowd in the place. Afterwards, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, "See, you are well. Sin no more, that nothing worse may happen to you." The man went away and told the Jews that it was Jesus who healed him. And this is why the Jews were persecuting Jesus, because he was doing these things on the Sabbath. But Jesus answered them, "My Father's work until now, I am working." So, a couple things stood out to me. And one is, this man has been sick for a long time. 38 years. I don't know if he's older or younger than 38 years, but at least he's 38 years old. And so basically his entire life, or maybe his entire adult life. And Jesus saw him and had compassion. Jesus saw the need. And Jesus offers him. He says, "Do you want to be healed?" And the man gives an excuse. He says, "Well, I can't get down to the pool." His faith was in this fable, this tradition, that if he could make it to the pool would heal him. And Jesus says, "Okay, I'll heal you. And take up your bed and walk." And the interesting thing with this is, here's a man, unlike our other two stories, he doesn't ask. He doesn't, and even when Jesus offers to heal him, he makes excuses. But, like the other people, he had a need and he knew his need. He recognized his need. He knew very well that he needed to be healed. And Jesus didn't give up on him. He met him where he was at. And at some point, the man realized he had to follow Jesus' instructions. And he follows what Jesus says, and he believed. Mark's account says, "But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." And he said to the man who was paralyzed, "I say to you, rise up, pick up your bed, and go home." And immediately he rose up before him and picked up the bed that he had been lying on and went home, glorifying God. We see this immediate action once he recognized the power of who Jesus was. And I just see something very beautiful there. I see that Jesus calls us to reach out and ask him, but he meets us wherever we are. And my challenge for today is just wherever any of us find ourselves to realize that Jesus is here for us. He's reaching out for us. And I truly do believe that Jesus wants us to ask him. He wants us to come to him. He wants us to initiate that. But we've all found ourselves in that place where we aren't. And Jesus takes that step and keeps pushing us, keeps calling us. In conclusion, Jesus is a caring Savior who delights in meeting our needs. He calls us to ask, sometimes beg when we have a need. We are called to believe and have faith. And Jesus delights in meeting our needs, both physical and spiritual. Jesus will meet our needs wherever we are. We serve a Savior who meets us. When we don't ask, He still seeks us out. Even if we do not ask, we still have to be willing to believe and follow Him to receive the blessing and ultimately salvation. So my challenge today is just, wherever you find yourself, reach out to Jesus. He is here to comfort us in whatever we're going for. And I truly believe that He works miracles just like He did back in the Old Testament, or New Testament, the Old Testament. He can continue to do that for us. But He calls us to ask, to follow, and believe. That's all I have today. So, Ivan, do you want to come up and have a closing prayer and consider ourselves dismissed?